"You remember the crack in the wall?" whispered Eben as they were about to separate. "Surely, and how the cannon can be reached by one who dares throw his arms aloft. Never fear, I shall succeed." At least if confidence in his ability counted for success, Robert was bound to get there. The night favored him. It was cloudy and gloomy. A raw air made the sentries draw within their greatcoats and sent them along their monotonous beats with little desire to stand and listen. Then the splashing of the waves down upon the shore was apt to disguise any slight sound the boy might make in climbing upward. His agility stood him well in hand. A mountain goat could hardly have ascended where he forged ahead. Not once did he falter, even when he knew a single slip would hurl him down to instant death. What he had done before for pleasure and in a spirit of mere bravado, he certainly could now carry out when there was so much at stake. Ethan Allen's trust should never be betrayed. After a while he came to a crack in the wall of which Eben had spoken. Here the danger was doubly great, but he had calculated to a fraction, and nothing had been changed since he had made the effort so successfully before. Straightening up, he balanced himself, and raising his arms, reached for the cannon. Once he clasped this, it was an easy thing to draw himself up, entwine his active legs around the projecting part of the bell mouthpiece of ordnance, and then crawl through the embrasure. If 50 men in Allen's company could do the same thing, how easily the fort might be taken. Perhaps one alone might suffice, provided he could unbar and swing wide the massive gates, giving his fellow patriots free entree. Robert flitted about this way and that. There were several things he had been especially instructed to see about, and having a deep sense of the importance attaching to his business, he set about doing these in succession. The fort was vast and grim. No lights were to be seen, save in the officers' quarters, where the commandant and his staff were perhaps engaged in consultation, or killing time with cards and wine. Here and there the muffled figures of the sentries were to be seen treading their beats on the ramparts. They were outlined against the gray sky, and every little while their "all's well" could be heard. It was hard to believe a state of war existed, and that he now crouched inside a hostile fort. For years Robert had known this massive barrier, built to oppose any force moving up or down the west shore of the lake. To him it had always seemed a friendly protection, and yet now it sheltered the foes of his land. The proud banner that floated all day so defiantly represented tyranny and oppression. The men of Vermont had sworn by the graves of their fathers that it must be pulled down, and he had been chosen as having an especial part to play in this exciting war drama. After a time, Robert had covered all the points assigned to him by Colonel Allen. He carried the information in his head as the safest place. When the proper time came, he could disclose a condition of affairs that must of a certainty please the one through whom this present mission had come. It was time he were going. The prospect did not cheer him any, for if there had been danger in climbing up, it was worse going down. It chanced that in heading for the marked embrasure where he had come in, he had to pass by the headquarters of the commandant. Some boyish curiosity drew him to step out of his way and peep in at the window. He only had one very fleeting glimpse of several red-coated officers seated around a table on which a number of papers lay amid wine glasses. Then the door opened without warning, and a man came out hastily, actually bumping into Robert before he could make the first move to get out of his way. The party, who seemed to be excited and angry, began to berate the boy who had nearly tripped him up. Then his mood changed as he caught sight of Robert, and uttering a shout of astonishment, he threw himself upon the boy. It was the king's messenger,